It's good to see each and every one of you this morning. But, you know, again, as Chick already alluded, how about them Phillies?
Yeah.
And my good friend Tom, I love Tom like a brother, I really do. But he just said, you better preach good if you don't want anybody falling asleep on you. But how do you know that I'm not going to fall asleep on you? that would be funny. But this morning, as we continue in our series in the life of Samuel, we're going to look at a passage of Scripture in 1 Samuel chapter 8. And a couple of ways that you can follow along this morning is one, I'm going to put Tom on the spot. If you would like a Bible, just by indication of raising of your hand, Tom can get one for you. But also inside our FYI, which is our church bulletin, there's an outline, a blue half sheet there, if you'd like to follow along that way as well. And I don't know about you, but for me, this series on the life of Samuel, I've just been very encouraged to, and not just encouraged, but challenged to live a life fully for God. And right from the beginning, a woman by the name of Hannah, who committed her son to the Lord, and how that all looked, that a mother would give up something so precious to her. But yet, through that, God was able to use Samuel with his life. But in the past couple of weeks, we've taken some time to talk about returning to God. Tim shared with us, he said, do you have a litmus test when it comes to the idols in your life? Are there things that we spend more time on than we do with our Heavenly Father? And also last week, Chick shared with us just about remembering God. And I just, as I was taking notes myself, I wrote this down, and maybe it was just for me, but I wrote down, when we allow God to work on our behalf, we will remember what he has done for us. And we remember last week when he raised the stone, the Ebenezer, that God is our help. And before we look at our passage of Scripture and talk about what it looks like to rely on God, there was a story on NBC10.com that actually Chick printed out for me and shared with me. And there was an ordinance that the city of Philadelphia has put into effect this month that has to do with the city tour guides. And with their city tour guides, they have asked them, or said you will, not asked them, that you will take a history test so that you can give accurate information about what is going on in the city of Philadelphia. This began back in the summer when the article started that there was many people who come to visit the city of Philadelphia, and there were some tour guides who weren't giving the correct information about the city. So the people, some of the tour guides said, that's not fair, this is freedom of speech. And yet the city of Philadelphia was saying, wait a minute, time out here, we want to, when people come to visit our great city, or when folks to take them to Philadelphia, or when we ourselves go, we want people to give us the correct information. We want to be able to rely on them to give us the information to say, yeah, this is the history of Philadelphia. And so I thought that was so interesting that can look like, what does that look like for us this morning? When it looks like to rely on God, are we listening to different voices? Are we getting inaccurate information? And yet, as here, what we believe here at Hope Community Church is that God is the one who changes lives and transforms lives, but yet it's through his word and it's through his power that we can get the right and correct, accurate information, that we can truly not only return to him, not only remember what he's done for us and how faithful he is, but also that we can rely on him in any and every situation. So this morning, I just want to set up a little bit of a scenario here in our story here in 1 Samuel chapter 8. And Samuel here plays a key part in the transition of the nation of Israel going from a tribal system to a monarchy. And at the time, Samuel was around 65 years old when this story that we're going to look at takes place. And the nation of Israel was looking for a human king to lead them. And, excuse me, and this was actually about 20 years, give or take, after the battle at Mizpah, the story that Chick shared with us last week. So it was interesting. One of the things that Steve and I were talking about during the week was, what happened in those 20 years? What was going on in there? Was that 20 years a time where God was strengthening Samuel for such a time as what we're going to look at today? And was Samuel continuing to draw closer to the Lord? Now, for me personally, as I look, I didn't find anything. So did that happen? We don't know. I could say it did, but I don't want to give you inaccurate information. But what I am saying is that something was going on in the life of Samuel for that time to bring him to a place at what we're going to look at today. So why don't we take our Bibles and look together at 1 Samuel chapter 8, and we're going to start with verse 1. And we're going to look at most of chapter 8 today. We're going to go back and forth and in bits and pieces, but hopefully this gives you an idea of where we're headed this morning. Because what we'd like to do as we look through the passage of Scriptures, we want to look at one. One is two responses that we give when it comes to relying on God. The second thing is what can we learn from Samuel in this story here? And finally, what can we do? What does it look like for us? And I don't know if you're wondering about this door here, but I know it's Halloween season. No one's going to pop out or anything. There's a method to my madness, and I'll explain that in just a bit. Let's look together, verse 1 of chapter 8. It says, when Samuel grew old, he appointed his sons as judges for Israel. The name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second was Abijah. And they served at Beersheba. But his sons did not walk in his ways, and they turned aside after dishonest gain and accepted bribes and perverted justice. What was going on here is Samuel, you know, in other words, was passing the torch on to his sons to become judges of the nation of Israel. But the reality is that they were corrupt. And at the time, according to the law, perversion of justice was forbidden. And just like today, when it comes to emerging nations are looking for honest and reliable leaders to lead them. And what was interesting is Israel, the tribes of Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel, were becoming more and more self-absorbed with their own tribes than they were of the greater need of the needs of the nation itself. And also military, Israel was in a military crisis because the Philistines were having successes in battles. And so the nation of Israel was saying, you know what, we can't really trust that God is going to protect us. And so with that being said, Israel's existence was really here. It was at stake. There was a lot at stake going on. They're at a crossroads. They're at a crisis of belief, a moment where they have to say, what are we going to do with what is in front of us? And so that's what we want to look at. If you're following along in your outline, two responses that we can give when it comes to relying on God. And that first one is that we can choose flight. We can choose flight. It goes on to say in verses 4 and 5 of chapter 8, it says, so all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah. And they said to him, you are old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint a king to lead us, such as all the other nations have. So Samuel has two strikes against him. One, they're saying you're too old, and then your offspring, they're very far from the tree. And not only that, those were some of the reasons that they had for a request for a human king. And also, again, when we talk about the perversion of justice, that corruption was grounds for indictment against the whole tribal system. And that also what was going on in that day and time is that the nation of Israel was being challenged by what was going on around them. Technological advances of the day. It was interesting in reading some of the commentary, it said that camels at that time were beginning to be domesticated so that they could be used for trade, you know, so they could go through the desert. And so not only that, just the physical types of things, but all the gods that were around them, the fertility gods or other different types of gods that they were going, wow, look at all this stuff going on around us. And so if you can just give us this one thing, you know, that would be great. You know, this is what we want, you know, because one, you're old, and two, your sons aren't doing what you used to do. And so, in other words, they're saying, look, if we could just have a bodyguard, that would be great. Because, look, if we had a king, that would show the other nations around us that we have power and we have unity. And we could also have a king that could lead us into battle and guarantee our safety. But the truth of the matter is that God had plans for the nation of Israel to look for a king. It even goes back into the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 17, starting in verse 14, it says, when you enter the land the Lord your God has given you and have taken possession of it and settled in it, and you say, let us set a king over us like all the other nations around us, be sure to appoint over you the king the Lord your God chooses. It goes on in verses 16 to 20 that Moses goes on to share about the guidelines of what a king should look like. And unfortunately, later on, the kings did exactly the opposite of what Moses said. This is what it is to look like. So Israel really was looking for something that truly couldn't satisfy what they really needed. They're asking for something. They're saying, give us a king. And they keep forgetting their one true king, the Lord their God. Please give us something that what we think we need and not what you think is best for us. Samuel goes on even in verses 10 to 18. He says, look, here's what this king that you're asking for, this is what it's going to look like. And he gives a list of things. He says, he's going to do this. He's going to do that. And so on and so forth. And Samuel was very specific about what was coming down the pipe. Life as you know it, nation, is going to change. It's not going to be what you think and what you want. But yet at the same time, you have to remember, I'm going to be very clear with you, that when you are looking for help, you know what? The reality is that God's not going to help because you've turned. You're turning your back on the one who is your true king. So if we can choose the one, we can choose a response to say, you know what? I choose to flight. But yet we need to be prepared for the outcome. Let's continue on. Let's go to the end of chapter 8 together and see the response that Israel gives to Samuel after he tells them, this is what's coming down the road, if this is what you really want. It says in verse 19, it says, but the people refused to listen to Samuel. No, they said, we want a king over us. Then we will be like all the other nations, with a king to lead us and go out before us and fight our battles. And when Samuel heard all that the people said, he repeated it before the Lord, and the Lord answered, listen to them and give them a king. Again, Samuel was very clear about what was going to happen, and God was a little bit reluctant to grant Israel's request, but God allowed it. And the people were free to make the choice for a human king. And they were, again, in essence, they were turning their backs and saying, no, we know what we need. And yet, again, as Samuel shared, you can't be upset when things don't turn out the way that you want it. And think about that in our own lives today. That is, remember with Tim sharing about the idols or the things in our life, the sin, as scriptures say, that so easily entangles us. And yet, sin can look so inviting and so alluring, and Satan will in our lives, will minimize the outcome. But yet, if we really think about it, there is a high cost to turning our backs on God. We can see it all the way back at the very beginning in Genesis. It's just a piece of fruit. What's the big deal? You're not going to gain any weight. You'll look good. You'll be all right. And not only that, you'll be just like God. What's the big deal? And as we can see from that point on, that sin can cause great heartache. It can be painful. And yet at the same time, you know, there is, with sin, it's such a short ride for such a high cost. The Bible is very clear in Romans chapter 6. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. And sometimes God does give us what we want. And sometimes, again, the outcome can be painful. But we can't be upset with him. We can't be upset with him when we choose to turn our backs and say, we know what we need better than you do. And yet we have to be careful, too, that that when we make requests to God, that we make sure that those aren't being demands of God. So we have to ask ourselves, has there been a time when we looked for someone or something other than God? Or another way to put it, what stops us from choosing God when we know what the outcome is going to be? When we already know what's going to happen and we already know what to expect. But what stops us from choosing him? What stops us? So we choose flight. That's one response. But the second response is that we can choose to fight. We choose fight. And this is, you know, I just talked a little more on Israel, but now we're looking at Samuel. And Samuel chose to fight. And let's look together again at verse 6 of Samuel chapter 8. The nation of Israel has said, here's what we want. Give us a king like everybody else has. It looks really good, all that. And please do that because you're not doing your job. But verse 6 says, "But when they said, 'Give us a king to lead us,' this displeased Samuel, and so he prayed to the Lord." I thought that was pretty neat. I mean, I was thinking even this week, we could have just stayed right there. This displeased Samuel, and so he prayed to the Lord. Verse 7 goes on to say, "And the Lord told him, 'Listen to all that the people are saying to you. It is not you they have rejected, but they have rejected me as their king, as they have done from the day I brought them up out of Egypt until this day, forsaking me and serving other gods. So they are doing to you." It wasn't that God was totally against a king, but it was the fact that the nation of Israel had forgotten their one true king. God's saying, "Samuel, look, I know what you're going through. This has been, look, these people were in slavery, they were in bondage, they were broken down and beat down, and I took them out of that. I brought them from that, and the minute that they got what they wanted, the minute that I rescued them, what I did for them, not anything that they could do, they forgot about me. So it's okay. I understand what you're going through." And the reality is that Israel's greatest weakness was their spiritual attitude. And I see that in my life sometimes. You know, "God, thanks for what you do for me, but, you know, got it. You know, this one I can handle, but this one you handle. Because these are just the little things in my life, and the big ones I really need for you to do." But yet the more and more I continue to realize that God wants to be involved in the little things of my life, in the everyday mundane things, and in the big things that, wow, he just blows me away. Those are the times that when times again come that they're hard, we can look back and we say, "Wow, I really do see how faithful God has been in my life." We shared this with the students just last Sunday, is that, you know, our faith will continue to be strengthened when we continue to see how faithful God is. And that's the beauty of it. But even for us today, we still look for kings to lead our lives. When there is one true king, he is willing and able to, but yet he's saying, "You know what, this is a daily thing, Jeff. This is a daily thing for all of us. We can choose to fight, or we can choose to fight," and understand that, you know what, there may be times when it's not you. For those of us who are followers of Christ, I don't know about you, but I've had times in my own life where I've extended love to someone, the love of God, the hands and feet of Christ, and extended grace, and yet it's been no thank you. And then I've also been able to share the good news of Jesus Christ with people, and they've said no. But I have to remember that I can't take it personally. And Samuel was, you know, his feelings were a little bit hurt. You know, again, you know, wait, I'm old and my kids, and now this, these people, you know, they're giving me a hard time. Yet God's going, "You know what? Just focus on me. Don't focus on the circumstances around you. Don't focus on the big thing right now. Focus directly on me." And sometimes that when we do choose to fight, and when we do choose to say that, "You know what, God, I'm going to follow you," sometimes it doesn't mean that we put ourselves in a new setting. It doesn't mean sometimes that we necessarily change the things we do. But when God continues to change our hearts and our lives and transforms us to become more like his son, that's what God does. But yet there's our part as well. The Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 5 and 6, in the New Living Translation, it says, "If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone." Ask God for wisdom. It's not just saying, "God, can you give me your advice?" You know, and, "Oh, great, okay, I'll take that. And then, hey, what about, okay, that's good." No, it's just saying, look, putting into practice what God is sharing with you. Again, each and every Sunday is through his word, through prayer, through his spirit, through others, that God will speak to us and that we can rely on him. But it's saying and understanding that, look, I want to put into practice what God's teaching me. Not only that, but understand there are spiritual implications. That's wisdom. That's what we're looking for. But understanding that we are sure that our faith is in God alone. Excuse me. But also, when we choose to fight, when we choose to say, "You know what, I want to rely on the Lord, and I'm going to allow him to do the fighting for me," is that we have to prepare to be faithful. Because every time that there's a situation or a circumstance, when we come to those crossroads, we can understand that these are opportunities for us to either turn our backs on God or we can choose to rely on God. It's that continuing, constant allegiance to the true King, Jesus Christ. And again, the reality is that Samuel wasn't happy at all. But what did he say? He turned to the Lord and he prayed. The Bible says in Proverbs 9 and 10, it says, "For the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." It's having that, not only that reverence for God, that intimate relationship for God, but it's submitting authority to God. And it's that constant communion with Him each and every day. And I know that's hard for each of us. That's hard for me. But at the same time, what does that look like when we choose to fight, when we choose to turn to Him? And just for me, some of the things that came to my mind is that, you know what, when I choose to allow God to handle my situation, when I choose not to take things personally, I want to choose also to allow God to take care of the outcome. But going to Him is the first step, doing our part. God is already saying, "I'm faithful. I will do what I say I will do." But our part is going to Him. Richard P. Cook put it this way when it comes to praying and communicating with the Lord. He said, most of us have much trouble praying when we are in little trouble, but we have little trouble praying when we are in much trouble. It was quite interesting that, you know, I do that. When it's good, thanks a lot, Lord, great. Now we're in crisis, you know, hit the panic button. But again, in those everyday mundane things, am I pushing the panic button? Am I pushing and saying, "Lord, I need you today. This morning, before I get out of bed, when it's looking, God, you know what, it's not just your advice. Lord, you know what? What would you do if you were in my shoes? Because I know you live in me. I am your follower. What is it? What's the next turn? What's the next thing that I need to do in order to bring you honor and to bring you glory and to make your name famous?" I thought about this past week, actually, and Emily, my daughter, she has given me permission to share this, but she was having some hard time with some girls at school. And so this past Monday, as we were walking to the bus stop, she told me everything. She said, "Dad, these girls, they've been calling me names, they've been doing this and that." And I'm going, "Oh man, it's on." Like, Dad was ready to go. And she said, "Don't worry, Dad, they're not at my bus stop, they're not gonna be a problem." I said, "All right, well, I'm walking to the bus stop with you." "No, Dad, definitely don't do that." You know, because it was like the first day of school, just a side note, but the first day of school, like, the parents stopped me and they're like, "You don't go down there for middle school." Like, parents don't go down there. The kids are too cool now, you know, and they want friends. They don't want their parents. And there's a path in between the streets. And so I said, "Look, Emily, how about I just walk halfway down the path?" "Dad, don't walk down the path." And I said, "No, it's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. Dad's just going to stay here." But as we walked down the path, we noticed that girl was at her bus stop and several of her friends. So I said, "Oh, I'm definitely going. Dad, I got it." And so as Emily goes, the girl made a comment to her, and I said, "Okay, it's definitely on now." So I went down there. I said, "Please, you know, just leave her alone. You know what? Why are you doing what you're doing?" And of course, she starts mouthing off, and I'm just trying to keep my composure. And I'm like, "You need to go to your own bus stop." And da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. She just kept going on. And so I was just like, "Well, hopefully we'll see you Sunday." And nobody got that one. Okay. But I said, "Look, Emily, I'm going to take you to school today." And as we got home, I said, "You know what? One of the things, Emily," I said, "you know, that's not cool." I said, "I hope you saw that your dad was protecting you." She said, yeah. I said, "But you know what's even more important than that? We need to pray for her." Okay. You know, that was hard for me to say because I was like, you know, let's get this on. But we prayed for her, and I prayed for Emily. I was like, "God, give her safe passage today. That's all I'm asking. Just give her safe passage." And so I went and picked her up from school, and she's like, everything was fine. And so she went to school on Tuesday, and she came home, and she said, "Dad, you want to know something really cool?" I said, "What?" And she's like, "Well, I got called down to the office today, and they said, 'Is this the girl?'" "Yeah." She wasn't there. They said, "Is this the girl's name?" "Yes, yeah." "Oh, well, she's moving, and she won't be in the school district anymore." I was like, "Are you serious?" I'm like, okay, I know God answers prayer, but that quick, like, I was so blown away. But it was just a testimony, not only to me, to rely on Him, and He will work things out. He will handle the consequences when we choose to rely on Him. But also showed Emily that, you know what, God's pretty big. You know, he's bigger than mom and dad's faith or what's talked about here at church. But she can take that and she can look back when she's in high school and maybe laugh about it. We can laugh about it. But yeah, she can go, I remember a time when I was in sixth grade that I saw my dad back out, but I let my heavenly father handle this situation. I thought that was pretty cool. And so we can choose to fight. We can choose to fight. But the question is that who are we turning to first when chaos or tragedy strikes? And do we believe that God is faithful enough to do what he says he's going to do? So we can fight, we can fight. But what can we learn from Samuel this morning? Just a couple of things I want to share with you that I got from taking and reading this passage this week. One is that Samuel turned to God first. Samuel's mayday, Samuel's SOS went to the Lord because what did it say? Samuel, this displeased Samuel, and he went and he prayed to God. The second thing is that Samuel trusted God during crisis because Samuel had faith to believe that God knew what he was doing. He's putting it in his hands. He says, this is yours, Lord. And finally, Samuel let God handle the consequences. Again, Samuel put the situation into God's hands. He said, Lord, look, this is what they're saying. They don't want you. He says, I got it, Samuel. It's not you they're rejecting, it's me. It's okay. I'm still in control. No matter what's going to happen, I still got it. And so those are the things that we can learn. Those are the things that I even learned this week, just from a simple incident at a bus stop, that God, you're still in control. Jeff, you can't protect your daughter all the time, but I got it. Do we still pray for that girl? Yeah, I have been, and I can honestly say that. Hopefully you're not sleeping at that point. But yeah, I have been. And hopefully that maybe she'll change her ways. I don't know. But I know that God is bigger than anything that I can do or that Emily can do. But if we can learn from Samuel that he went to God first and he trusted him and he allowed him to handle the consequences, what does it look like for us? And what can we do? Well, the one thing that came to mind for me was this, is that choose wholehearted devotion. Choose wholehearted devotion. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. I want to just talk just briefly. Tina shared this with me. She said that part of he will make your path straight is when a king was coming into a town or into a city, there would be people that would go ahead of him, and they would remove the rocks, or they would move possible fallen trees or whatever was in the roadway in order for that king to reach his destination. And the reason why I share that is that is who God is. First of all, that passage of Scripture, and even this morning, this is for all of us. We can either choose to rely on God, or we can choose not to rely on God. And whether you've been a believer for many, many years, or this is new to you, or you're even going, I'm still kind of clueless on the whole God thing and the relationship with him, this is for each and every one of us. Wholehearted living means total commitment to Jesus Christ. Not only that, above all else, obedience to God should be and can be our number one priority. And we can choose to be willing and faithful to live our lives for him. And as we do that, and just like the whole, and he will make our path straight, God will be the one to be faithful. God will be the one to remove those things out of the way in order for us to have our paths straight. He's saying, look, I got it. I'm in control. I'll take care of these things. And I will handle the consequences. When you choose to do the right thing, when you choose to live for me, I will do that for you. And it really boils down to continuing submitting authority to him. Who are the kings in our lives? Who are the ones that are continuing to, we want to lead us? Is it the one true God? Have we decided to say, you know what, life's too overwhelming? You know, the economy, my finances, job, relationships, you know, just different choices or poor choices I'm making. What is it? What are the things that we're saying, you know what, I haven't relied on him for, but I want to, and I just need just that that one thing. Well, that one thing is your one true King, a God who loved this world enough. Not only enough, but he so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, and his name was Jesus. And Jesus relied on God for the outcome. He said, I'm going to the cross, and I'm going to pay for the sins of the world. And God, I'm going to allow you to handle the consequences. And you know what? Jesus had those moments where people rejected him. Jesus had those moments where, you know, folks said no, and there was others who followed him. But at the end of the day, where are we with that? Are we choosing to say, give me those kings, give me those things, give me those, whatever it is, but it's not what God intended for each and every one of us. He intended for us to have a relationship with him because he loves us. And he's saying, if you can just rely on me, I will allow you to handle the consequences. I allow you. That was bad. I'll handle them. Follow me. Rely on me. As we look at the life of Samuel, again, he turned to him first. You know, in our family's life, as you all know, I mean, our family has grown by one, and it's exciting. And we have our high times, and we have our medium times, and we have our low times, and we have times where we laugh together, and we have times where we cry together, and we have times where, you know, we may not want to look at each other together. But this morning, you know, as I shared about this door, we did this with the students a couple weeks ago, and what we did was we just said, you know what? Going through that door is just saying, you know what? I'm going in, I'm saying, God, you know what? There's some things in my life that are crazy, things that I have questions about, but you know what? I want to rely on you with them. And so as I share just even about our family, you know what? Today I'm saying, you know what? I'm relying on you. And this morning, that's offered to each and every one of us, that we can say, you know what, if we are a follower of Christ, there may be things that we're saying, you know what, I got a lot of kings in my life that I'm not allowing the one true King to lead me on, and I'm not relying on him. That may be you today. And it may be, you know what, I may just want to go through that door today and say for the first time, you know what, I'm choosing the one true King. And today I see that, you know what, I'm missing it, but I do see that there is a God who loves me, and that there's a God who wants relationship with me. And I realize that I see that the Lord has died for me, and I choose him today. This morning in your outlines, you'll see that there was stapled. So again, I'm not trying to make anyone feel awkward, but we're going to have the worship team just come and play quietly. And I'm going to put the ushers, the elders on the spot, and just ask that maybe they just stay right up in the front row, and maybe as you go through that door, you may want to talk with one of them this morning, or you may want to just, you need prayer. And so we just want to make this time a time of reflection and of response. And I'm not going to ask you to do something that I won't do myself, because I want to truly rely on God first and foremost when it comes to my family and what we're doing as we continue to adjust, and what God has in store for us. So I'm going to even just do this with you. And so I just want to pray, and then we're just going to have the time of reflection and response. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, you are God who, as we continue to hear week after week after week, that you're faithful. Father, that you're a God who won't let us down. You're not the God that the Israelites believed that you weren't good enough to protect them. Lord, we understand that we can learn from the life of Samuel that he was a man who was wholeheartedly committed to you. Father, I pray as we just take this time to reflect and respond, Lord, as maybe there are things that are coming up, and whether we want to write them or just thinking about them, and one-on-one with you, just being real, being open and honest, Lord. Your word says to search our hearts. Father, I pray that we would just take a few moments and you would search our hearts. Lord, I pray that even today, that if, as we sit here and we may have a disconnection with you and never have begun a relationship with you, that today would be the day that we would say, you know what, I know it may sound weird, but going through a door doesn't save us, Lord. But saying yes to you and believing that you have died for us, and you are the only one who can give us eternal life. I pray all these things in Jesus' name.